The southern border crisis has been closely watched by news sources for years. This past April, over 178,000 people were arrested trying to cross the U.S. southern border, this being the highest number of arrests ever recorded in 1 month alone. Now, these people are leaving behind everything they know and love to come to the United States for a number of reasons, many of which are rooted in Central America's changing climate. And I'm not talking about political climate. This is Green Me. The great climate migration is just beginning, and it's going to affect all of us. Currently, 1% of the world's surface is known as a hotspot, where it is barely livable for human beings. In just 50 years, this number could increase up to 19%, and temperatures in these equatorial regions could become so hot that stepping outside for just a few hours could literally kill you. This 19% of potential hotspot land includes much of India and Pakistan, the southern portion of the Saharan Desert in Africa, the coastlines of Mexico, and much of Southern America and Southeast Asia. These are real predictions from scientists reporting to the New York Times, and it could mean the displacement of billions of people. Now, going back to the southern border crisis, many people are coming to the United States because of a lack of job opportunities, political instability, violence, and poverty. But how are all of these things related to climate change? To put it in short terms, drought has swept across the farming regions of Mexico and Central America, lowering crop yields and putting farmers out of business, leaving them no choice but to move to cities. Cities can only handle so many people, and eventually some get pushed out. Imagine two farmers who grow almost all your fruits and vegetables in your fridge, whose parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents were all farmers. If you put them in a city, poverty is almost inevitable. A lot of these people are illiterate and unable to sustain a healthy lifestyle in an urban setting. Many migrants to the United States are farmers. Guatemala holds the 10th largest migrant group in the United States. In this agricultural nation, rainfall is expected to decrease by nearly 60% in the near future, and the amount of water that cycles through to keep soil moist could decrease by 83%. This phenomenon of drought isn't only happening in Central America. Weather patterns have been chaotic in South and Southeastern Asia, and the unpredictable seasons of monsoons and drought have pushed an estimated 8 million people away from the region and into the Middle East, Europe, and North America. Think of all the migrant workers in countries like the UAE and Qatar. Almost all of them come from these affected regions, such as India and the Philippines. Now, although only 5% of migrations to the United States occur solely because of climate change, you could easily argue that climate change indirectly affects all the other reasons why migrants are arriving: hunger, poverty, and political instability. Now, this argument that climate change has a great effect on all of these reasons for migration is quite a hefty argument. It was tested by economist Alan B. Krueger and geoscientist Michael Oppenheimer. They decided to make a projection of how big the great climate migration could be. For the first time, economists, demographers, and agronomists would have to work together rather than independently to find historical connections between census data and crop yields, for example, or between drought and emigration patterns. Oppenheimer and Krueger published their study on the theory of climate migration in 2010, and here's what they found. Mexican migration to the United States increases during periods of drought, and by 2080, climate change could drive 6.8 million migrants into the United States. Now, Oppenheimer and Kruger's study faced heavy backlash from climate change skeptics who claimed that their projection was simply guesswork. In general, making projections about human migration is quite risky, as human movement is a little bit unpredictable. However, Oppenheimer and Kruger felt that these risks were worth taking. And ever since this 2010 study, scientists have been finding more and more links between climate change and migration. For example, drought pushed many Syrians into cities, worsening political tensions and conflicts in Syria. In Egypt and Libya, lower crop yields led to unemployment, a huge factor triggering the Arab Spring. As the factors going into human displacement become clearer to scientists, the potential of climate migration tremendously expands. However, besides drought and low crop yields, there's one more pressing issue that is inevitably going to affect all of us, and that is rising sea levels. Only recently have scientists discovered that they have been underestimating the number of people who will have to move from coastlines by a factor of 3. At our current rate of high carbon emissions, the amount of land that will be underwater will displace about 300 million people by 2050 and 600 million people by 2100. If we were to lower our emissions, only 190 million people would be displaced by 2100. However, obviously that's still a lot of people. Now, sea levels are rising due to both the melting Arctic and mostly ocean expansion, which is simply water molecules expanding as the ocean gets hotter due to, global warming. Although the scale of climate migration ranges from 50 to 600 million people, there is no doubt that migration models have greatly improved due to the increased cooperation between those who study human behavior and those who study the changing environment. We can also conclude that our carbon emissions and our agricultural practices will very soon leave millions with no place to call home. So, what can you do? When talking about taking action to decrease drought, I made an entire episode all about our agricultural practices and its links to erosion, flooding, dry seasons, and desertification that you can listen to now. It's episode 3. When it comes to global warming, the answer is pretty obvious. I'm not going to sit here and tell you to ride a bike instead of driving a car, but what you can do is educate others. Talk to your friends and family about climate migration. It's not really a subject that a lot of people know about. Talk about the steps that you and your family can take to reduce your carbon footprint. I hope you learned something new. Thanks for listening in on this episode of Green.